Good morning. Our Bible reading this morning is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and beginning at verse 5, it's the birth of John the Baptist foretold. John chapter 1, and beginning at verse 5. Now, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well on in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well on in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he had stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but he remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." This is the word of the Lord. Well, now I start by asking you a question this morning. If I was to ask every one of you to name a very, very special day in your life, what interesting stories would come forth. For me, I tell you of three quickie ones. The first one from the 1970s, when I stood before the high judge in Bristol Crown Court to sign documents to make my Vietnamese war orphan Thiongan Ngoc Lan into Vashti Lanwolden. A very special day for the young family then. And then again in the 1980s, I had the supreme privilege of being on the platform with Dr. Billy Graham at one of his stadium crusades. And then in the 1990s, when I was in Brussels, I was introduced and had a long conversation with His Royal Highness Prince Andrew. Three very special red letter days for me. But what about you? What sort of red letter day would you tell me about? Well, this morning we join priests in the historic line of Aaron, Zechariah, having the most important day of his life. Twice a year, he had to leave his farm up country and walk down to Jerusalem to do his stint in the temple and to join his fellow priests in the administration of the daily worship there. On this particular day, he was chosen by casting of a lot to enter into the inner temple to serve incense before the altar for the evening worship. Now, please accept that this really was a most tremendous privilege. It was a once-in-the-lifetime opportunity for Zechariah to go into the inner temple to serve the Lord by the burning of incense. What an opportunity! Wow, surely the adrenaline was thumping away within him. My big day. And wait until I tell Elizabeth when I get home. Well, now, from this passage this morning, I want to state there's enough material for five proper sermons. And I wish I could have the opportunity of being with you to unwrap all of these things, of these treasures. First, there is the story of Zechariah, which we're dealing with this morning. And then there is the account of God breaking his silence of 400 years and once more speaking to the people of God, interjecting into history again since the prophet Malachi. Now, also, thirdly, we've got here the problem of delayed answers to prayer. We read that Elizabeth and Zechariah had been praying for a very long time for this expectant baby. And so we've got a problem in Scripture, and we need to discuss it, the problem of delayed answers to prayer. And then also here, there could be a discussion and a study about the ministry of angels in our own Christian life with Gabriel and his cohorts. And then we need to examine the prophecy about baby John and see how it was fulfilled. Worthy of more detailed exposition, and maybe our house groups could go through those five subjects that I've highlighted. Well, I've got some headings, and the first one is going to be Zechariah's circumstances. And in verse 5, we read this. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah. Verse 5. Now, Herod was king of Judea plus a bit more territory. He was an Idumean, but had adopted Judaism purely for political convenience. He was a bloodthirsty tyrant. He had 10 wives and murdered 9 of them. Watch out, Alison. And he was appointed by Emperor Octavius as a fawning vassal. He courted popularity by erecting magnificent public buildings and beautifying the temple in Jerusalem. But actually, these were dark days for the people of Israel. For years they'd had the Roman yoke imposed upon them with all the pagan worship. And the Romans had upset the Israelites by parading the effigy of the emperor. And they instituted mixed bathing and do all sorts of things in desecrating the temple. They were dark days for the people of Israel. But you know, and I know, that the darkest day, darkest hour is just before dawn. And thus it proved to be. Now, then again, he and Elizabeth were childless. And this was looked upon as being a curse in society of the day. However, the name Zechariah means God remembers his covenant. And the word Elizabeth means my God is an oath. Surely a marriage made in heaven for such a time as this. Now, in the world's darkest times, God has his hidden people. And we know that people are praying for a revival in our own land as we seem overwhelmed with all that's going on, and politicians making unchristian choices, and too many things going from bad to worse. Surely you will agree with me that we are living in dark days indeed. Our Christian heritage from the Reformation and several revivals is being eroded. We can no longer claim to be a Christian country, and we need God to visit us again. Come, Lord Jesus. And may it be that in this Advent season, as we go forward to the coming of the Saviour, we pray more earnestly for God to intervene like he did in this day, for to do something new in our nation for Jesus. So that's Zechariah's circumstances. Secondly, Zechariah's home life, verse 6. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. What a beautiful description of their home life. Righteous in the sight of God. Now, the version that I've been reading just now is the 1988 version of the NIV. But if you have a later edition from the 2011, you will read that both of them were righteous in the sight of God. It means that they were honourable and without blame in their community. They loved the word of God and followed it. Now, this word righteous, as in the later edition of NIV, has a very important connotation. The Lord Jesus teaches in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And then in Romans 3 and verse 21, we read this. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Here is the technicality of conversion, of turning to Christ, and we recognize that we are not as we need to be or ought to be, and so we turn to the Lord Jesus as our Savior. We recognize that we need God's Holy Spirit coming into our life. Now, this word righteous is something that God does. It isn't that we do things by reading the Word of God and we pray and we attend church regularly and we do nice things and we help Francis out doing this, that and the other. It's something that God imputes to us. By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, God then imputes righteousness into us, that we are right with him. An important definition and significance in our Christian life. For even after we believe in the Lord Jesus, we still need the life of God within us, imputed, imparted within us by God's Holy Spirit. So we read that Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in the sight of God. Now, I'm going to say this, and it's important, in looking at Zechariah's and Elizabeth's home life. You know, people are watching us. Neighbours observe our habits. Shop assistants note our politeness or rudeness at the checkout. And the greater family, who know not the Lord Jesus, are looking for our weak spots. As we are at home, so we need to be outside of the home. As we are at home with Christ and with each other, so we need to be outside of our home with Christ and in the community. God can only bless us and give us joy as we stick close to Him. If there is hidden sin and open misbehaving, God cannot bless us. God blesses us in proportion to our righteousness. Zechariah's and Elizabeth's home life. Now, verse 3. In verse 11, we read this, Zechariah's encounter. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. So here is Zechariah on his big day, the most important day of his priesthood. And he's thinking, here I am on my big day, and whoosh, an angel appears. No wonder the Bible says that he was startled and gripped with fear. High adrenaline one moment, and stark fear the next. Verse 13 states that the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." Hey, isn't that wonderful? It is possible to know that the Bible says that our Heavenly Father hears our prayer. And it's incumbent upon us in our righteousness to receive answers to prayer. How do you know that God loves us? How do you know that the Holy Spirit is within us? How do you know that we love the Lord Jesus so much that God answers our prayer? Now, a long time ago, all of 18 months or so, I started courting this lovely lady, and she was working with Francis, and she was the verger at a funeral. And so the very first time that I came into this building, I sat at the back where Peter on the sound desk is. And Francis was doing his lovely thing as usual, and Alison was doing her lovely thing as usual, being the verger. And I thought, this building is a house of prayer. And this building is a place where God answers prayer. And I got that thought in my mind the very first time I visited St. Andrew's. And I want you to receive answers to prayer. Now, if you read Star Beckoning, you'll know that I put a little notice in. And I would like to know from you how God has answered your prayer in these last months. And we'll see in confidence what interesting ways our Heavenly Father has been at work in your life. So the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." Now here comes the answer to long-standing prayer. Elizabeth will conceive, and the rest is history. God said, and God did. God said, and God did. It's the mark of our God. It's the mark of the Bible that whatever God says, he does. We've just sung how God is a faithful God. But be careful to note that the couple had been praying for years, and some commentators think that Elizabeth was well over 50. And all of a sudden, this priest who administers God's ordinances looked up to and responded in his village, questioned his faith. In verse 18, he says, Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well on in years." Zechariah, big day, burning incense. He's there in the inner temple. An angel comes, and all of a sudden, the faith that he's had in God evaporates. At that crucial moment, he dares to ask the veracity of what Gabriel said. Unbelief is something God does not accept. This priest was really questioning God's ability to fulfill his own word. How many verses can you remember where God states plainly that after being fully assured that what God has promised, he was also able to perform in Romans? And in 2 Timothy, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And in the Old Testament, way back across the centuries, it says in Joshua, not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. And so on infinitum. God said, and God did. And this is the God that we have dealings with day by day in our prayer life. So I implore you, let God be God in your life. Zechariah was struck dumb because of a sudden lack of faith. Who else do you know who failed at a crucial moment? Do you remember Moses? He did not reach the promised land because of a mad moment when he disobeyed God. At a crucial moment in our life, don't let our faith evaporate. Trust in God. Because the record of Scripture is that God said, and God did. So lastly this morning, point four, from Elizabeth's joy. Zechariah returned home, and God did what he had promised through his messenger Gabriel, and so a pregnancy was underway. Is there nothing too hard for the Lord, the scripture says in the prophet Jeremiah? Apparently, the amazement and curiosity of the people forced Elizabeth to hide herself for a time, even as she praised the Lord for his mercy. Not only was she to have a son, and that after all this time, but the birth of this baby was evidence that the Messiah was coming. And so from the darkest days in Israel's history, exciting days were ahead. At Christmas time, we're going to sing, "Joy to the world, the Saviour comes," we sing. First, John the Baptist calling people, "He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God." What a special day for Zechariah and Elizabeth. Their prayers were heard and their prayers were answered. God was going to break into Israel history directly with the birth of the Saviour. And after that, Jesus the Saviour comes. Happy Christmas. Amen.